You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. It is a beautiful summer day. I'm going to sit by the pool. I'm going to get the towel, sunscreen lotion, swimming goggles. What am I forgetting? Oh, yeah, beer. Got to have beer. And you know what? One of the best beers you can get for that is Oscar Blues. Oscar Blues Brewing Company, so many great flavors. The original craft brew in a can. They made Dale's Pale Ale. They have a Pilsner that I just totally love, Little Mama's Little Yellow Pils. Their Old Chub is a delicious Scotch Ale. There's so many flavors. And they've got breweries that you can actually go and visit, brew pubs that are amazing with stages and all sorts of cool stuff there and lots of other items. Man, their soda collection as well. Oh, my God. I had their Black Cherry Cream Soda. It melted my face off. I have no face left. Can't you see that? That's your fault, Oscar Blues. They're a big supporter of OneOfUs.net, and you should be a big supporter of them. Visit them in Austin. Two locations in Colorado and one in North Carolina as well. Please think about becoming a subscriber if you're not already. That is the only reason OneOfUs.net is able to continue doing what we're doing, putting out all this great content for you. And there's always more, including videos. If you haven't already liked our YouTube page, please get on there. Give us a good rating. That always helps. Or on our iTunes pages. I said pages. That's because there's about to be separate ones for each podcast. Please go on there. Give them 5-star ratings. It makes a difference.
So has anybody seen Brock? Are we sure he's alive?
Brock is like a living, breathing Where's Waldo.
Brock who?
Yeah, instead of the striped t-shirt, it's the red belt of obscurity, as a friend calls it.
They have a championship?
I thought only SmackDown did. I thought it was a unified championship, and we had one champ, and he only performs on SmackDown.
Oh, that would be better, wouldn't it? That would be probably a huge improvement. Hi, I'm Richard.
This is Gene.
And welcome to Thumbtacks and Screwjobs.
The screwjob being us expecting a champion on Raw.
Yes. Thank you, as always, for tuning in to our wrestling podcast related to all things all things off the graps, I'm going to say. From now on, that's our thing. That's our new dealio. As always, we thank you so much for supporting OneOfUs.net, not just through listening to the shows. If you spread the word about them, you know, put it out on Facebook, tweet it, send it to your granny wrapped up in a box. I think we'd be okay with that, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
You know, we'd just pop out and go, hi, we're going to talk about wrestling in your house. Don't forget, you can always support One of Us. There's so many ways. You can buy films directly through us over at Digital Noise. We do all the new release schedules, and if you buy anything off the site through the Amazon links, we get a little kickback, and it helps cover the cost of this place, which is very important to us. You can also become a sponsor. The levels start really low, giving you all kinds of great options and great additions and free stuff. Really recommend it. And again, that's the kind of thing that keeps the lights on and the microphones working.
And we have a lot of fun doing it.
We have an absolute blast. We really do appreciate you guys tuning in.
I got to co-host one Digital Noise episode where we discussed the 2005 Fantastic Four film. It was quite illuminating, where my complaints are not the common complaints that most people have. I actually kind of enjoy the film. But my issues with the score, no one ever seems to really focus on how grating the pop rock music that pops up all over that movie.
Oh, not a good plan. It's a bad idea. But if you're a subscriber, you can listen to Gene on the... it was actually a Watch a Movie with Us.
Watch a Movie with Us, my apologies.
Which is our to order sometimes. film commentaries, and that's exclusive to One of Us members and all kinds of material. But wrestling, back to the wrestling.
Ooh,
wow,
this has been a busy news week or news month.
It's been a busy news month. It's not necessarily all been good news?
Should we talk about the WWE TV deals first, since that's the biggest?
Let's talk about the TV deal.
These guys are going to now be receiving, Raw. This is funny. Raw will be continuing on USA Network. SmackDown will now be featured on Fox. Between the two deals, these people will be receiving, what is it, $1.3 billion, $1.5 billion over the next 5 years?
Here's the funny thing, that you had so many people going like, why is Fox canceling Brooklyn Nine-Nine? It's because, well, they've got to clear 2 hours of space on their schedule somewhere. And everybody was paying attention to wrestling and knew anything about what was negotiations going. Something has to give. And inevitably, it was going to be a relatively cheap, doesn't do phenomenally, half-hour sitcom. And it's not even that cheap. I mean, it's a big cast. And I don't know what they must be re-up to now just on the nature of their contracts. Because you get passed for the season and it's always going to be step payments for a sitcom. Yeah. So they're probably all, it's not going to be a cheap show anymore.
No. Didn't Netflix save it?
Yeah, it's Netflix or Hulu.
Or Hulu, one of the two.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much everything that was in the cull has been saved, but that was what it was about. That was what it all came down to.
My question, what makes WWE that valuable? Whereas, I mean, falling ratings, falling attendance numbers. Why did Fox pay that much for technically the B show?
I wonder whether it's because they think they can turn it into the A show. Their options really, because they need something in that demographic. They need something that feels like that.
And neither network, from what I've been hearing, wants to pay for both shows. No.
Bonnie What's-Face over at USA probably would have, but I think it sounds like she got out.
Veto, yeah.
Just because WWE wanted too much money. And if you can break the product up and sell it off, fine. I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see what that means for cross-branding.
And the brand split, which now the brand split probably makes a little more sense.
Now the brand split has to mean something because you can't just swap between, because if you're trying to pull in broadcast audiences, which is part of what they're going for.
And you want people to watch both shows.
Yeah.
You have to have unique stuff on both of them.
I mean, there's a real possibility that SmackDown could end up with substantially higher ratings because it's going to be free to air. That's the other thing. I think Fox needs something in that audience zone. UFC's
not been performing what it used to 3-4 years ago.
They lost Ronda.
They lost a lot of major big name stars.
Conor McGregor, who they were.
They're rewriting the rule book to keep Conor around.
Well, they're rewriting the rule book to keep him around, but they still can't let him box. And if he tries to, if he tries to come back and fight in the US, he's probably going to get arrested. I mean, Conor is a hot mess at the moment. I don't know what they think they're going to do, but
Dana's renegotiating to get him back.
Well, he's got nothing else. Dana's failed to make another celebrity.
Pretty much.
And his biggest headlines recently have been around him giving Punk a load of money
to fail.
Go five rounds.
Punk tried,
but it was, I don't know. That's the biggest thing that they could get out of it. They haven't, they don't even have a Clay Guida anymore. They've got nothing. Like it is a company which has to go away, think about what it wants to do, and come back with a whole bunch of really new, fresh talents who people care about. Or it could just be that they had their day in the sun. I'm not ruling that out.
Them not being able to produce, our partial reason that Fox decided to go with WWE is kind of fill the void. Man, is it me or appears to be that SmackDown starting to stack their roster, at least as far as the tag division is concerned.
Oh, yeah.
All the great tag teams are on SmackDown.
Well,
and Raw has The Revival and ..
The Revival, who they've put in a weird situation that they're kind of they seem to be putting them almost as the New Age Outlaws, as the jobber team that is used to
help
to
get other people over.
And who cares? That's not the best use.
This company is the greatest when it comes to making a star NXT, and then ruin them when they get up to the main roster, Raw and SmackDown.
As everybody pointed out from this week, you know, that we're supposed to think that Bayley has gone heel because she finally snapped.
Defended herself and stood up for herself?
On a show where everybody gets jumped all the time and the supposed Golden Boy jumps people all the time. What's the booking?
Yeah, and why does Bayley have to go to therapy when Braun Strowman unleashed and attacked, put people in the hospital on a regular basis?
Didn't Braun Strowman at one point actually kill Kane? I think he actually legitimately killed him.
Hasn't Brock Lesnar decimated people? Roman Reigns decimated people? Yet Bayley's the one that has to go to therapy?
It makes
who writes this show?
Yeah, and yet again, we had a pay-per-view weekend where the NXT show was leaps and bounds ahead
of the main roster
show.
At least, like, I think the length of the show already is going to make it a better watch. Clocking in under 3 hours makes any wrestling show easier than anything that runs 4+ hours.
Well, and the fact that the main roster, I mean, congratulations, Fox. You bought a show where the highlight, quote unquote, is taking two of the best wrestlers of the past 10 years and having them in a dick kicking contest for 4 months.
Congratulations, this company. Only this company could take two of my favorite wrestlers of the past decade and a half and make me not care about the feud.
Well, I mean, I can understand Shinsuke not wanting to, you know, him being okay with this, because, you know, honestly,
he's up there in age.
He's pretty beat up,
yeah.
So, that's fair. I can't blame him for that. Does it help?
No, doesn't help him.
You know, put him somewhere where he can actually do some good.
AJ, it does not play to any of his strengths at all.
And they've already, you know, fallen back with Daniel Bryan of going, oh, we're going to basically, you know, hinting at reuniting Team Hell No.
It got a huge pop,
but that's recognition. That's not going
to
last.
I guarantee you in 3 weeks that they're going to, this company finds a way to get people less over in the subsequent weeks.
Whereas, the NXT show, the takeover, was phenomenal again.
Gargano Ciampa has to be best feud of 2018. I don't think there's anything even close.
This is one of the few times where you've had when was the last time we had a feud of this magnitude?
Not involving a title?
Perfectly, that lasted best part of 2 years. Yes. This is a 2 year feud. And nobody's bored of seeing these guys yet.
Last year, it had a lot of stiff competition as far as best feuds. I mean, we had Omega Okada. We had several between many companies, Lucha Underground, even Impact had a few really solid ones. Nothing touches Gargano Ciampa this year.
Yeah. No, and yet again, this was a stellar show. Black Sullivan was good. I mean,
Lars Sullivan is going to be hard to carry to a great match, but he got carried to a pretty damn good match.
Yeah, he's solid. He's a good big man.
He's a good hand. He'll thrive on the main roster because he's Vince. He plays all of Vince's likes.
And he doesn't seem to. I don't think he's ever injured anybody, which for a guy that size. And he's, the ladder match he was in, I was like, oh, this guy can go. I mean, I could see you in a couple of years putting the IC strap on him.
No problem
at all.
I can see that.
And his promos aren't bad either.
You know who could carry him to a really good series of matches?
Who's that?
If they wanted to finally put the IC strap on Finn Balor.
Yeah.
And let him take a go with it for like a good year and to surpass Miz's run, I think they can have a great series of matches.
Speaking of Finn, if you didn't notice, yet again, he Instagrammed recently a picture of him with a humongous tailbone bruise just looked agonizing. But yet again was Baron Corbin, a man who is no longer officially in a wrestling role because he's so bad. And I'm sorry, that's the reason they pulled him. Like, the guy cannot work. Every time you see him, he can't do basic work. I've told the story before about when there was an NXT house show, and it was Corbin versus Baylor in the main event, And Baylor just went to town on him because he couldn't take a fucking DDT. Like, one of the first things you should learn after rolling and work with work with your left arm is DDT. And he didn't know how to do it. It was appalling. You got to look at him and just go, how is, like, even in a non-wrestling role, he's taking one of your best high flyers out of commission with it just because of a stupid bump.
And the excuses for the powers that be, I can only imagine. Well, he's better than Big Cass.
Well, what isn't?
Well,
who?
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. The fact that we haven't got to that.
The fact.
Yet.
Oh, yeah. And further gripes about the state of SmackDown. The fact that
Daniel Bryan was in a feud. No, and he couldn't even. Bryan Danielson is one of the greatest wrestlers of the modern era. He could not get a good match out of Big Cass.
No one can. No one can. The guy.
If Daniel Bryan can't.
Can you imagine what he's going to be like on the indies?
Oh, you think he's actually going to the indies?
Oh, who knows? Maybe need somebody needs a lamppost.
I can see at best case scenario, Impact.
Yeah.
They'll probably sign the real one and. Or rename him Benzo and Big.
Last. Here's the. Although apparently they can't stand each other.
Oh, okay.
Which is part of the reason they split them up in the first place, is they just couldn't handle it. It was two awful people who couldn't stand each other. But the hilarity now that, like, the one person standing from that NXT faction is Carmella.
Carmella. Not only standing, she's the fucking SmackDown champ.
They've managed to make Asuka into a dweeb. Well done.
Well, that in less than 4 months. Asuka was already a beast long before coming to NXT. They built her up so well. Triple H gets all the credit in the world. Their creative staff and bookers get all the credit in the world. Asuka was the new Goldberg.
Yeah.
And in less than 4 months, less than a third of the time, no, less than a sixth of her NXT run, they've already pissed away all that goodwill.
But, I mean, let's go back to the elephant not in the room.
The fact that the current champions of the both women's divisions set the women's revolution back 5 years?
Yeah, let's face facts.
It's a couple of cute faces that can't work for shit. No. So it's the early 2000s or mid 2000s all over again.
It's done. They have botched it so badly.
They botched Sasha. They botched Bayley. They haven't done shit with Becky Lynch in who knows how long.
Well, that was the amazing thing during the Money in the Bank match.
The pop that she got when she was climbing that ladder.
Becky's by far.
This company notorious for calling audibles before and during shows. Why the did you not call an audible right then and there?
Yeah.
Becky was the most over person in that match.
Well, it's because they've done nothing to... I mean, I think people got used to the mild cringe of the last kicker gimmick. They're just like, okay, just let it. Just go now. I mean, I looked down at NXT and I'm looking at it and thinking, well, you know, they might know what to do with the Iconics. I think that... And they'll still be able to work while doing a very early 2000s gimmick. I think that's pretty much it. God knows what they'll end up doing to Nikki Cross. I am so glad people were initially like, oh, Sanity's gone up. Why didn't Nikki Cross go? And I'm like, don't.
Do you want the main roster creative team ruining Nikki Cross or Shayna Baszler or any of the great women they still have in NXT roster? And NXT is a touring brand. They need really good talent
but
there.
The Nikki Cross Shayna Baszler match, which I know was supposed to get Shayna Baszler across, it got Nikki Cross over more than she is one of the most over people on the roster.
Yes, agreed.
And how long have I been saying that, like, she, you know, every match where, you know, she was in these three ways and you're going like, well, she's clearly the one who's gonna take the pin, or she's gonna be knocked out of commission, so she's not in contention for the last 5 minutes of the match. Like, she is officially now their Mick Foley.
Yeah,
she
agreed.
Is crazed. She does the gimmick so well. She understands what it takes. The eyes
she
wide
understand,
open.
She understands ring psychology.
Yeah.
to a scary degree.
She's one of the best minds in wrestling on the planet. I'll say that flat out. Her matches are always beautifully put together. She made Baszler look better. And Baszler's got, she's still a bit of a personality boy.
Tony Storm, Shayna Baszler. Should we talk about that one?
Yes.
It was basic heel heat 101, but good God. Can we call Tony Storm, like, the new Johnny Gargano?
Yeah.
As far as, like, being able to get worked over, being able to draw sympathy for... You could stretch out the heat segment for, like, 45 minutes, and she makes it entertaining. She makes you feel her pain.
What's your feeling on the new announcement about NXT UK brand?
I'm mixed bag. Mixed bag for me. One, it's going to get a lot of attention from wrestling fans here in the States for wrestlers a few people may not have heard of. However, this, I think, is the first step towards some very, very... This could be Vince destroying the territories all over again. I see this happening in Mexico. I see it happening in... Do you think Pro Wrestling Noah or All Japan may wind up getting absorbed into their...
Well, I mean, they're doing a very small deal, but I have a funny theory about this. Because at the moment... And it's been rumored that they are going to either do talent exchanges, which benefits the other promotions.
Definitely.
Or, I mean, for example, Kenta going back and doing some work in Noah. And the fact they did the deal with Noah and not New Japan was very interesting.
They'll never do it with New Japan.
Because Noah is... Well, I mean, they did. Back in the day.
Well, back in the day. They won't do it now.
No, but then you've got this situation where, there's rumors they're going to use indie talents as well, not sign people to contract, which they kind of done with NXT anyway. And I really wonder whether NXT is closer to the model. Because they know that they end up with this super stacked roster that they're spending a huge amount on people and they're not really doing anything with them. And
NXT's not really making a crap ton of money. It's doing okay to self-sustain.
But wouldn't it make sense if, rather than flying everybody out, you find yourself in Ohio on a Monday night and you go, well... they're not on our roster, but what about
if we bring in matches?
Ohio versus everyone, who can come in and work a match and look good doing it? And you have them cycle through, or say maybe pick them up for like a month or so and say, oh, we're going to put you into an angle, with these guys, you'll be over, you'll have had some TV exposure. Next time you come back, you're going to be a bigger name.
As weird as this sounds, they could find the next Ellsworth.
Yeah?
Ellsworth, this was a wisely done audible. He took a Mikey Whipwreck level beating from Strowman, what was it, a year and a half ago? He got such sympathy in that match.
Yeah.
And they brought him back and got the crowd behind him again. This kind of deal, you may find yourself the next Whipwreck
sending somebody down to Florida and saying we need you to stay in Florida for 6 months and we might move you to NXT. It's like go out there and go, look, we know you do not want a contract with us. You don't want to move to Orlando. Fine. We will use you like for 2 months and then you'll be fresh. And then you can go back on the road and you can go work with whoever you want. But for this 2 months, you can't be on TV with anybody else. You can't be on MLW. You can't be on Impact. You can't be on Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. After that, there's no non-compete.
Yeah.
And I think that...
And they can still work for untelevised promotions.
I think that makes all the sense of the world. You say the death of the territories. I actually think the territories... We're in the realm of virtual territories now.
Yeah, I think we're in a territory type era again. I'm just concerned
that WWE is going to try and kill them off as well.
Yes, and this time the proliferation of NXT is going to be the catalyst for it.
I think the problem could be they could end up overstretching their own brand. I think that's They can particularly because when they did the latest UK tournament, they weren't all UK talents. They were talents that worked in the UK a lot, but you know,
it was an NXT show basically. It wasn't like the UK, the previous
80% UK British talent
with some big name.
Yeah, and it was
foreign.
But like even in the first round, like Lindsay Dorado was in the first round. I'm like, why is Lindsay Dorado in the first round? Yeah. It makes zero sense.
I'm concerned because this could be the first step of, like I said, they'll never get New Japan. They may get Pro Wrestling Noah. They won't get CMLL or AAA. They might get the Crash.
Yeah.
So it's going to be the number two or three promotions of these other countries. And I can see it happening.
Whereas the, talking about people who are signing, it's weird. The number two promotion in the US is getting the best deals with the number one promotions in Japan, which is Ring of Honor. I watched Best in the World last night.
I remember when Impact was number two.
Oof. Nominally.
long time.
Nominally. Best in the World last night.
Outstanding.
A little slow to get really rolling. The first few matches were good. It really picked up.
Punishment Martinez.
Punishment versus Adam Page, which is just two guys beating the piss out of each other.
Who are the? I will go so far as to say they're the future main event of ROH. Give it 3 years.
Yeah, Punishment Martinez. Said it before, is everything.
He's getting better by the month.
Yeah, he's everything better that they try to make Roman Reigns be, and he will never be. He's just not that guy.
Because it's not corporate spoon fed. Forced down your throat bullshit.
Where and Adam Page, who is 24, and unreal
at that age. Yeah, it's rare you get guys like him or Will Ospreay or that understand what brought him to the dance may not be best for the long haul. So let me tweak my style. It's not usually until the 30s where people wake up.
I've had a couple of concussions. This is probably a bad idea. I need to slow down. And I'm only going to do table matches when it's a show that really requires it. Where it picked up last night was actually Flip Gordon versus Bully Ray. Which is a really stellar match and setting up a feud with Bully and Colt, which is
don't
great.
One of my biggest top five pet peeves are DQs or no finish at a pay-per-view, except when it's a strong enough match to further the feud and keep it going.
And also particularly because it worked with Bully Ray's character. Because he kicks. I think in a pointed jab at SmackDown's booking at the moment, he kicks Flip Gordon in the nuts, and immediately Todd Sinclair goes, "No, that's a DQ. You lose." And then he goes town on everybody, and that's absolutely perfect. How you do that kind of match.
And didn't that same thing happen in the Storm Baszler match? Ooh. Where it was a DQ, that was a count out. That was a count out. And we can now continue the feud. But yes, anyway, Ring of Honor's booking, pretty solid last year or two. It's a damn shame that the roster, I don't want to say it's lacking. I will say that if it wasn't for their working deal with New Japan, I think they'd be in trouble.
I think you're right, but then they have the working deal with New Japan. You know, in the same way that I think that they have long term plans. This isn't like Chikara, who were poised and then they kind of and then
yeah,
Quackenbush was just like, I'm okay doing what I can, and like Chikara came in much bigger, and I think that's a real loss. But you know, I mean, the fact that let's just go through the card here: the Kingdom versus Los Ungobernables of Japan, Flip versus Bully Ray. The Eggwoman tag, Austin Aries versus Kenny King, which was really good.
That one was a peculiar one. What was the purpose of the Bell Collector gimmick if he's going after people without titles?
That's just a feud. I think that's him reestablishing himself back in Ring of Honor. And I think it gives Kenny King something to do, and I think what that's going to lead to.
But didn't Kenny King have a belt?
Yeah, but then. But Kenny had the TV belt, which he then dropped to, what's his name, Last Real Man?
Ah. Oh, yeah, Yeah, and Silas. Yeah.
Silas Young.
But why?
Who then dropped it to Punishment Martinez. My suspicion is that they are building up
Punishment Ares.
Punishment Ares Kenny.
Okay.
And then
that's a good three-way.
You put it on Kenny. Well, no, you put it on Ares, and then Kenny is in the hunt after Ares, and Ares gets to go, no, I beat you.
Yeah.
You don't get a shot. So Kenny has to work his way back up to the roster, which is exactly what they did with Jay Lethal versus Kushida, which was, you know, started off nicely paced and got better and better and better. And, you know, Kushida working the arm was just great.
And Jay Lethal's another one. He got it at a young enough age, man. He still does a lot of death-defying stuff, but he makes it count.
Yeah. And then we had, for me, the match of the night, which was the Briscoes versus the Young Bucks, which was
every time they fight, it's magic.
You know what? Part of what makes it so magical, and they pointed this out in the commentary last night. They've only fought. This was the 13th fight in 10 years. That's
not
what
often
makes it special.
I went to a show in San Antonio. Girlfriend got me tickets for my birthday last year, and I got to see that fight live, and it was amazing. Mark Briscoe is the ultimate. If he was wrestling during ECW's heyday, he would probably be their most popular guy. This guy interacts with the crowds like no other. I yelled out, "Show us your redneck kung fu!" He turns right towards us. Y'all want to see that? And he does it. It's freaking hilarious.
I suspect at some point they are going to put the belt back on Jay. I think Jay is going to have at least one more world title run.
He was a solid singles competitor.
They both are. I did not know that his real name is Jamin Pugh.
Oh, wow.
That is kind of delicious.
Something to know.
There you go.
You learn something every day.
But yeah, that match was just, it was everything you want from those guys.
Yeah.
I love the fact that, I know that Nick Jackson is working through some injuries, but like the fact that they played that in so that his brother was doing a lot more of the heavy lifting, taking a lot more of the punishment. And he was coming in doing big moves and then going, ow, 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 and selling. Yeah. This is a funny thing that, you know, all those people who spent all those years bitching about the Young Bucks, they don't sell, it's all coming. It's like, they're some of the best sellers, and every time they sell, it adds to the story.
Exactly.
And then the three-way, talking to somebody who's clearly working through some injuries. I mean, Dalton
Castle, the majority of his world title run.
Dalton needs
some time off.
He needs 6 months off to just heal.
Yeah.
But that was a great match.
It was an odd decision given All In and the circumstances around how title matches are going to play into that. I was sure that Cody was going to win the belt.
No, because if you do that, then there has to be, you have the problem that it's going to be belt versus belt, and they're not going to unify the Ring of Honor and NWA belts. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So then, what's the game plan? I mean, like, either Nick Aldis drops the belt before then, or you build up to, and here's my suspicion, is that Marty screws Cody out of the win. And that builds up to, like, then that, you know,
the
Marty,
full Bullet Club collapse.
And Marty, you push as a singles player, and I see Marty. Then that's when you put the belt on Cody. Is after that, and you have Marty come after it.
Yeah,
and that's best in the world.
That sounds
next
like
year
it works.
And the crowd last night, it was huge. It was 2.5 times what they've ever pulled in Baltimore. So Ring of Honor
I don't know. I love ROH. I just hear a lot of complaints about the roster, sans the working deals.
Well, yeah, but I think as long as they got the working deals, does it matter? And I think everybody looks to those working deals. I mean, you look at someone like Sami Callihan, who's in three televised promotions at the moment.
Yeah.
And yeah.
We're going to get to one of those in just a moment.
We should do that now.
Season 4 of Lucha Underground. Have you seen any of it yet?
I have not.
Okay.
Hey, I'm going to be in the same ring as Matanza tomorrow night.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
As always, folks, unsubtle hint. As you know, I am the ring announcer for Inspire Pro Wrestling in Austin. And tomorrow night's main event is ACH, speaking of Ring of Honor guys, who has...
Seeing him in action, that was my first time seeing him live.
He has never been better. ACH is just on
He's phenomenal. He's on another level.
And he is, if you want to talk about locker room generals, ACH.
Yes.
Like, he is absolutely insane. It's him versus the fastest rising star in the indie scene at the moment, Joey Janela,
yeah.
Who is unreal. I saw him in a match. It was a stream match with Steve O'Reno a couple of months ago.
Yes, I was there live.
How are you two not dead? Versus Jeff Cobb. So that is going to be a little bit off the charts. Damn. If you can't make it to Austin, then it is going to be streaming on Twitch through Heel Face Wrestling.
Oh, I will try to be there tomorrow.
So yeah, there you go.
But yes, Lucha Underground. Some odd choices for their season premiere. As we saw at the end of last season, Dario Cueto was shot. Dario Cueto, best authority figure in pro wrestling, probably the last 15 years. He's just outstanding. His character was shot on camera, so he's supposedly dead. His father, Antonio, and I'm using quotation marks around
there's
the name
Antonio. There's big air quotes happening in the studio right now.
Antonio Cueto, who set that up, is now the head official of Lucha Underground. It's Dario wearing a bad wig and doing a horrible old man accent.
For reasons.
They're going the cheesy telenovela route, which fits for this company. It's just... It's such a huge fall from grace for such an amazing character, Dario Cueto. They opted to, in their season premiere, do Aztec Warfare. Aztec Warfare is their version of the Royal Rumble, which is typically around their mid-season finale, which is built towards through the first half of the season. Why would you do that in the season premiere? Yeah. I understand it's been a while since we've had an episode. They were on a long break. However, that was kind of questionable for me. Also, yes, having Pentagon competed in it, and he's the first person to ever successfully go in as champion and come out still with his belt. Pentagon looks phenomenal. However, there seems to be a growing chasm between how good Pentagon is and the rest of the roster. It's almost like here's Roman Reigns, and everyone else is just a geek. Lucha Underground can do better, and between that and new talent, formerly Jack Swagger, or formerly known as Jack Swagger, debuts in episode 2. And a six-man tag loses. Can someone explain to me why Lucha Underground has talent lose in their debut match?
That's
over
something the WWE
and over. No, WWE even doesn't do that. At least they're smart enough to have someone go over in their very first match.
Yeah, it makes
sense. Then they start losing.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
But not in the first match. You want to get the fans behind that person, not derail momentum right off the bat. But overall, show's been pretty solid so far. I bitched about the second half of season 2 and first half of season 3. To no end, but the Cueto Cup seems to have saved the second half of season 3. I'm hoping that's what we'll have to look for, because we have nothing to build towards mid-season finale-wise. I'm hoping the Cueto Cup comes back again this year, and for any issues that we'll see first half of the season, second half of the season, the Cueto Cup will fix.
Yeah. You look at the number of people who are on... Lucha Underground, who are elsewhere.
Oh, they lost a lot of their big-name talent this last year when the contracts were up.
Well, they lost Ricochet.
They lost Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
Those two alone hurt tremendously.
But then again, Rey was... Rey in 2018 is not Ray in WCW. Yeah. Let's be honest. I mean, his knees do not work.
No, it's
pretty clear. But he does. He has the star power.
Yes, his that company needs star power badly.
A little desperately.
Impact Wrestling. Sorry, just a bit of news. Just broke sometime this week where Eli Drake resigned, and that's like the first big name talent for their company. Name to actually resign. I was sure he was WWE bound.
Yeah.
Dude is one of the best mic workers they've had in a long time. I was positive he would follow EC3's lead.
I think there's a lot of people who just don't want to go. I think that's the big thing that the WWE's got.
They don't have to tour. They can live in Orlando, you know, make a decent living, go to TV tapings once.
Dave Meltzer broke it down beautifully when he said, you know, if you're a top name on the indie circuit, you know, you may not earn the same kind of money that you do in WWE, but
you're not spending as much.
You're not on the road
all like 260 to 300 days a year.
Yeah, you can work. You know, you look at somebody like the Young Bucks. You know, not everybody's going to be the Young Bucks, but you can work 150 days.
You can go see your kids' birthdays. You can go on vacations.
You can decide where you want to work. You can decide when you want to work. You can be in the Jim Cornette. You know, like, I don't want to raise that specter. But Jim Cornette always said, I don't tour internationally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't like flying planes, so he doesn't have to.
If I can't drive, I'm not going. I was like, fine. And there's a lot of people who are in exactly that situation. They don't want to have to go somewhere. They're quite happy being at home, going out. You know,
yeah.
It's funny because Jim Cornette was you know, as always, kvetching about Joey Ryan and, you know, saying, oh, you're not making any money. And Joey Ryan's like, yes, I am. I am making really good money. Thank you very much. I don't need to do this stuff. And you look at the number of people who are making, you know, silly money through Pro Wrestling Tees. Now,
Hot Topic with the Bucks, too.
And not just with the Bucks, but with, you know,
Omega.
Much smaller talents as well are getting their shirts in there. Joey Ryan is in Hot Topic.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, well, why do I need to do something? And they recognize one of the things that they don't need to, you know, they don't need to go to WWE. Why would you if you don't need to? But, side point, we're talking about promotion, co-promotions. Last night on Best in the World, Odio Tai turned up from Stardust. And while they're still getting the Women of Honor division together, the co-promotion deal with Stardust is great, particularly because Odio Tai are a phenomenal faction. They're very well balanced. And I am going to say this, in the same way that Sami Callihan is at the moment the best thing on the indie circuit, because, you know, just the whole wrecking ball thing that he's got going on, the Callihan Death Machine is doing so well. I am saying now that in 5 years' time, Hana Kimura is going to be the biggest women's wrestler on the planet. The only competition is probably going to be Ronda, if Ronda keeps going for 5 years, unless she's on like a 3-year and make a lot of money contract, which she may well be.
I don't know. Tony Storm, man. I always see her
Tony Storm
waiting
is,
in the wings.
Tony Storm is phenomenal. I think Hana Kimura, she's just got such an upside.
Kimura, you know, is like 20. Almost total package at her age. Being a total package wrestler is...
And she's already had a great face run and a phenomenal heel run.
Yeah.
Like,
not many at that age can do both equally
or
well.
Either. Yeah, you're okay, but, you know, she's... I look at her and just like, yeah, she's just out there. And Odio Tai is a great place for her to be. They're a phenomenal faction. And, you know, Stardom is on a real roll at the moment. Yeah. They're bringing in a lot of really good talent. Hasn't Tony Storm done some work with them? I have a funny feeling she may have. But they've got B. Priestley over there. They're bringing in a lot of UK talent.
Yes.
And in part, that's because of the guys who are working for New Japan are looking at the rosters in the UK and going, like, you want to go work at Stardom or you want to go work over at DDT Pro.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's why I'm okay with enough places not necessarily having the strongest roster themselves, as long as these deals keep going and they keep working for everybody, I think it's fine. Because, you know, New Japan can have Will Ospreay for a few years, and he can still go and work, you know, ICW or where or what culture, you know, and like, and he's like, oh, I'm just going to go back to the UK for a few weeks. Fine, yeah. Not a problem.
Which you pretty much answered the question. We were about to get to the questions, and that was one of them from Christian Does. I've heard you speak about the depleted rosters of some companies. I don't see them as depleted as well, since the TV deals or the working arrangements with a lot of these companies seem to sustain them. Do you feel that the WWE will ever get into working relationship with one of the bigger promotions? No.
No.
They don't need to.
Unless...
Look how much Fox is paying them. Look how much USA is paying them. They don't need to.
The only reason they're doing the deal with Noah is because Noah wants to borrow Kenta for a while. And they're not really doing anything with Kenta. And my suspicion
not
is that
all.
he just went, let me just go back there for a while.
As great as 205 Live has gotten since Triple H took over, 4 months ago, it's still, they're not doing anything with him.
Yeah.
I don't think they ever will. I wish that were otherwise. I think the early injuries made them cold on him.
Which is such a mistake.
So very big mistake. Okay, Morgan S. Is Alexa Bliss the Miz of the women's division, or is that me? Between her and Carmella, I see it as a real step down for women's wrestling and world wrestling entertainment. I agree. I don't know where you feel.
Well,
I think Alexa Bliss, I remember about a year ago, Brian Alvarez on the Wrestling Observer said this about The Miz. He says, he keeps saying, I don't hate him. He's a great talker. He's not a great promo. The difference being, he's good on the mic. His promos will not put asses in seats.
Nope.
His promos will not sell tickets for a show. Same thing with Alexa Bliss. Same thing with Carmella. They're pretty cute faces that get a huge push because of their cute faces, and they're decent talkers. Neither one of them are, their promos are selling tickets. Neither one of them are good workers. Not even great workers. I'm saying decent workers. Neither. Carmella's horrible. Alexa is like just below functional.
I gotta say, I mean, I would agree with the idea of Alexa Bliss being the women's division Miz, because while not great, can be part of really, really good matches. You can't carry Carmella to a good match. Like, let's just do...
Yeah, Asuka failed at carrying her to a good match, and Asuka's one of the best in the world. Same thing, it's the Daniel Bryan big cast thing.
I think
all
part
over
of the
him.
Problem with Alexa Bliss is she being so horribly written. And she's just going out there and doing the promos that are given to her.
Yeah, she's trying the best she can with that crap that she's being handed.
You know, I mean, arguably, maybe she should have stayed down in NXT for another year. And just get a little bit more refined and, like, you know, work more on her promos, which are good, but not great. I will say, actually, that I disagree on the... I think she does sell tickets. Because she's such an irksome heel... but I think she's being misused.
Well, the thing is,
and
you don't want
to... schizophrenia, or you have somebody selling, you know, working in an angle about body shaming, who is on the record as of having, you know, issues herself.
Which rings phony.
And it's like, this just, if you knew about that, it just felt ugly, and then, you know, you're not doing anything. With Nia Jax, and nobody really wants to see Nia Jax in the ring. Let's be honest; she's not that good.
She's not.
If you were going to book somebody to, you know, as kind of the monster in the ring, go bring in Vanessa Craven for a few months.
And the thing is, the main reason I disagree with the Alexa Bliss thing, I don't believe people are buying tickets because you usually want to see baby faces kick their asses.
Yeah,
the baby face roster has been made to look like geeks. So who wants to buy a ticket to see a geek Sasha Banks, a geek Bayley, a geek Asuka, a geek anyone beat up Alexa Bliss?
That is a fair point. That's not her fault.
No.
Whereas,
by far,
isn't whereas it? Even when The Miz has been in a loaded roster, like, who cared? Like, The Miz has never sold a ticket in his life. I don't care what anybody says.
These don't know what baby faces and heels are. They don't know the dynamic.
Wins and losses don't matter.
And the thing is, I used to just blame the writers. The thing is, I don't know. I've read up on this recently where a lot of the writers there have some of them, a lot of them come from business or screenwriting backgrounds. They pretty much have gone on record stating you can't let them know how much of a wrestling fan you are, because if you are a diehard wrestling fan, they won't hire you.
Yeah.
And even when they try to work in logical wrestling angles and try to make it, I'm paraphrasing. I forgot which writer said this, but when they go out of their way to try to make logical wrestling storylines that make it feel like an actual sport again, those are the ones Vince immediately shoots down or Kevin Dunn immediately shoots down.
Yeah.
So I'll let you know what kind of company we're dealing with.
Any more questions?
No. Yeah. Those are the only two.
Aww. You can send us more. We'll always take them.
Yes.
You can send them directly to me on Twitter, at YorkshireTX.
And myself, at Gene Selassie.
Well, this has been great fun as always. We will keep you up to speed on everything that's happening in the world of wrestling. Again, thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to people who buy any merch or any... I think we actually do have some merch these days on the site. I'm fairly sure we do.
I believe so.
If not, we need to poke Chris with a stick. Yes. And you can always buy DVDs and Blu-rays through us, and that really helps keep the place afloat. Anyway, Gene, where can people find your writing?
At thescrumsports.com and also at smartcountry@oneofus.net.
And you can find me every week at the Austin Chronicle, where I'm the screens editor. And also, anytime there's an Inspire Pro event in Austin, come by. I will be the one person in the suit, usually sweating profusely.
Oh, and I apologize. I also am doing some writing for GodHatesGeeks.com.
I can't blame him. You met us?
The comment section, I completely understand why God hates geeks.
Just the worst. Anyway.
Not of God hates geeks, but comment section of generally, geek sites in general.
Never read the comments.
Never
read the comments.
Don't go down that rabbit hole.
No. Anyway, thank you so much, Gene, for being here. A wonderful pleasure as always. And thank you and good night. Ding, ding.
Have a good one. Here is the awkward pause.
The awkward pause just for Chris.
Chris, you will like wrestling one day.
We will make you that way.
We need to watch SummerSlam with Chris.
Make him endure all 25 hours of it.
Oh, God. I apologize. Never mind.
No. We'll make it. Yeah. Pre-show. Oh. Make him watch the pre-show.
Oh, God. He just mentioned the WWE pre-show, and the thought of the runtime of that and the main show just made me, like, almost... It made me throw up in my mouth a little.
Maybe Machine Gun Kelly will turn up again.